Horse Tales with Ursel Ellis,
the horse capital of the world.
Bluegrass country.
Horse Tales is all about the horses, the people, and the history of the thoroughbred industry. Now here's your host, Ursel Ellis.
Good morning, and here we are at the clocker stand, deserted clocker stand today.
It's out of work.
I didn't have a work all morning long. And the track, of course, they had sealed the track, and you could have worked on it, but there was so much lightning and everything that we've had a steady flow of, five, six horses out here at a time that were just galloping, but nobody breezed. Of course, yesterday we had all kinds of breezers, the day before also, so everybody saw it coming.
Right.
But I got here a little late, and I might as well stayed home. Hey, good shot, Jackie.
Thanks.
She just hit a 10-footer with a piece of trash to the trash can over there. I'm impressed.
Thanks.
Call Calipari. Anyway, they could have used him for a free throw. Used you for some free throws.
Yeah, right? I could have helped.
Yeah. Couldn't hurt. As I said, we've been training pretty steadily along here. Just you could get this. They never did open up the bottom track. It hadn't.
Oh, is that right?
No, it's we didn't have a break because there wasn't enough traffic up here to really worry things. And let's see, Jackie.
What?
Tell people about the streaming or whatever it is on the show here. I don't know.
Oh, yeah. We're live streamed at WLXG.com. And you can pick it up on your iPad and your iPhone.
iPod, I think it is.
And the smartphones. The smartphones are the ones we don't get because we're dumb.
So I can do
anything else. And this goes up on UrselEllis.com, too, if you want to check it out later. Is that all, Ressy?
All right.
Oh, I'll tell you what else. The Derby stuff and all the big races leading up to the Derby. I'm not sure if it's HRN.
It's NTRE.
No, HRN or TVG telecast those. And then also the major networks do. I don't know if it's NBC or ABC or ESPN as far as that goes. But thanks to the NTRA, they are going to do the same thing with those, video and audio. You will get the live stuff on your smartphone and on your iPad and on your computer while they're being run. Live streaming, I guess. Live stuff, thanks to the NTRA.
Yeah, well, that's neat.
Yeah.
I don't know how to do any of that, but then
I don't either. I'm lucky I got it out. Wasn't
yeah. Yeah, 8 to 5 of being wrong, you know,
right.
Far as it goes. Anyway,
correct.
Since the last show, we have had, I think, 8 winners. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. Yeah, 8 winners out of his saddle here that went on to win. Howard Rice saddle won down in Mountaineer. So did Jimmy Cargan. Eduardo Caramori had a winner. Don Combs went up to Indiana Downs to win with Will Bright. David Atkins won with Curses and Blessings at Keeneland. That's a tough old little. He's not that old, I don't think, but he's very small. And David gallops him most of the time. David pretty near weighs as much as the horse does.
Funny.
So everybody was joking around. Says, listen, he was so glad to get David off his back that he was going to win anywhere. You know.
But help me!
Congratulations, David. That was a nice win for you. See, and that same day, Keelan Allen Crupper went with Olympus. And let's see, last night in Indiana Downs, Mark Hubley won one, and Jesse Caudill won with Satire up at Mountaineer last night. That's 22 winners in 22 days. We're getting a winner a day out of here, which is a little bit light for us, but usually we have between 40 and 50 winners a month come out of here. But actually, there's a bunch of days when there's no racing. So it's kind of hard to win when there's not any racing.
Well, it is. That's for sure.
Yeah. What are we going to do today? Ron Wallace is going to come on with me. He is is the owner of and founder of Equine Farm Management, and it's he has got a real good background in the horse business, and he founded that firm in 1995. So obviously, it's going pretty well for him. And he's a very interesting guy. He's originally from out west. And he's developed, helped develop and, a lot of the farms around here in central Kentucky. One that Jackie and I have admired for a couple of years now. Jackie, you know, that when we're going into Paris on the right, that Hurricane Hills?
Yes.
That is a, we've commented that originally, it was, geez, that's a well-laid-out farm. And the barns are great.
Oh, the barns are gorgeous, aren't
yeah,
they?
Yeah, and it's, so well, that one in particular, anyway, we're going to, he's going to come on at 11 o'clock. Of course, Dr. Doug Byers is going to come on, and with his weekly veterinarian segment. Michael Blowen from Old Friends will be here. Steve Moody, we'll have him give us the winner of the Coolmore Lexington Stakes today at Keenan. Of course, they're running the Ben Ally at Keenan. I was doing a show once out at the, from the racing secretary's office at Keenan, and I mentioned the Ben Ally, and some guy walked around behind me and said, "That's Ben Ali." And I thought to myself, well, I wonder if he's from Versailles. But he sure as hell wasn't from central Kentucky, was he?
No.
No. Anyway.
Ben Ali. Oh,
Ali, yeah.
On.
And let's see, we might look at some of the old winners of the Jerome, which is a historic race, one of the oldest stakes races in the nation. It goes way back. And take a look at a few of the original winners of that and Jackie's announcements and so forth. And Jackie, you want to start in on that? Or
all right. I just I was shuffling this around here.
I noticed.
Of course, the big thing is this weekend, the gift shop opens up for till Christmas at the horse park, which is a nice thing. Just in time for Rolex. Rolex starts.
You want to give me that list for the KTA there?
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I can start out with that, seeing you're just going to mumble around for a minute.
No, I'm not. I don't mumble. I don't mumble.
This is the list of Kentucky Breeders of Stakes winners, horses that won stakes last weekend, and this is for given to us by the Kentucky Thoroughbred Association. And the Grade 1 Arkansas Derby winner, Arch, 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 I wonder who he's by,
was fair peeking.
Yeah, he's by Grape Stock. Was bred by Grape Stock, and that's a division, racing division of Vinery, of course.
That's so clever.
It is, isn't it?
Yeah, Grape
Stock. Do a great job out there.
Yeah.
Yeah. And Tom Lute just been appointed, you know, to hit up the NTRA.
Yeah, that's great.
Yeah. The Grade One Apple Blossom at Oak Lawn went to, now I'm going to pronounce it the way the old timers pronounced it back when they were racing there. Havre de Gras.
Right.
That's
correct.
Everybody called it Havre de Gras at that time. I didn't know else, how else to call it.
Well, people went to school in those days and learned something.
Well, once again, you know, I say Versailles and Ben Ali and Ben Ally, but then I get real fancy and say Havre de Gras.
You say but, it the way it was said it at the that said at the time.
Yeah.
I think that works.
Well, it's been closed for many years. Let's see, the Maker's Mark Mile at Keeneland, Grade 1, went to Get Stormy, trained by, bred by Mary Sullivan. The Grade 2 Jenny Wiley Stakes at Keeneland was won by Never Retreat, bred by Jerry O'Meara and Stanley Inman. The Grade 2 Santa Barbara Handicap at Santa Anita went to Malibu Pier. That's two stakes wins in a row for Malibu Pier out in California, bred, of course, by, it's by Malibu Moon, bred by Mr. B. Wayne Hughes. Jackie, you want to see if Margie's working something over there?
Oh, okay.
And let's see, the San Juan Capistrano, the Grade 2 San Juan Capistrano Handicap at Santa Anita, went to Juniper Pass, bred by Brookdale Thoroughbreds. The Grade 2 Distaff Handicap at Aqueduct went to Nicolay, bred by JMJ Racing Stables. The Grade 3 Count Fleet Handicap at Aqueduct, Smiling Tiger, was bred by Dr. Rodney Orr. The Grade 3 San Simeon Handicap at Saratoga went to Regally Ready by More Than Ready, another one bred by Grape Stock. The Red Bull Stakes at Oak Lawn, Tidal Pool won that, bred by David Garvin. The Northern Spur Stakes at Oak Lawn went to Uncle Brent, bred by the West Wind Farm. The Bachelor Stakes at Oak Lawn, Road Ready, another More Than Ready, that's been bred by Gulf Coast Farms. The Irish Tower Stakes at Aqueduct, winner was Rodman. He is another Malibu Moon, and this one bred by David Hager, Idlehour Farm out here on the Paris Pike. And the Harmony Lodge Handicap at Gulfstream went to Tar Heel Mom. Tar Heel Mom is a graded stakes winning daughter of Flatter. bred by Ups and Downs Farm. Flatter, of course, a full brother to Congrats. Flatter stands down at Claiborne Farm. Very nice stud horse. All righty. Well, last Saturday at Oaklawn, the Grade 1 $1 million Arkansas Derby, that's, of course, a major stepping stone for the Kentucky Derby, was won by Arch, 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 a three-year-old colt by Arch. Arch, Arch, Arch is the seventh Grade 1 stakes winner by Arch, a major source of classic stamina. A point driven home by the fact that Arch, Arch, Arch must be considered a leading contender for the upcoming classics by the success of Eclipse Award winner and Breeders' Cup Classic winner Blame, and by the fact that Arch has sired four year-end champions. Arch, 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 bred in Kentucky by Grapestock, a division of Vinery, has also won the Grade 3 Southwest Stakes at Oaklawn and the Sugar Bowl Stakes at the Fairgrounds, and his earnings now total $832,744. Grade 1 Stakes winner Arch by Chris S. out of Aurora by Danzig stands for $30,000, doing a full stands and nurses at Claiborne Farm. In your search for classic stamina, take a close look at the Arch yearlings at the major auctions. In other stakes, the Harmony Lodge at Gulfstream was won by Tar Heel Mom, a graded stakes-winning daughter of Flatter. And, of course, Flatter and Arch both stand at Claiborne. Inquiries to Bernie Sams and see the website at ClaibornFarm.com.
Sally Van Service has been in business for more than 60 years, and during that time, many of the greatest runners ever to step on a racetrack were entrusted to their care. And they've learned a lot along the way. It's pretty obvious that their vehicles and equipment are in tip-top condition. But the single most important safety factor is the ability and the experience of the person behind the wheel. They're extremely proud of their drivers at Sally Van Service. They're experienced drivers and experienced horsemen, and that's a winning combination. Think about that the next time you ship your horse, whether it's across the county or across the country. When you load your horse into a Sally van, you can depend on the fact that the person behind the wheel is one of the best in the business. The folks at Sally Van Service wouldn't have it any other way, and that's why for more than half a century, Sally Vans has been the safest way to the winner's circle.
Well, Broken Valor sired a remarkable 16% stakes horses from starters, and he sired 75% winners, and that's the highest percentage of winners among all sons of sires in bridle. So, if you want black type your mare, if you want a black type of produce record, take a close look at Broken Vow. And if you're looking for a black type runner, take a close look when a Broken Vow walks into the sales ring. Broken Vow was a sire of 10 2010 stakes winners. He has sired 33 stakes winners and over 70 stakes horses, and he's been represented by graded stakes winners on dirt, grass, and artificial. Listed among his 33 stakes winners are such brilliant performers as Unbridled Bell, a Grade 1 stakes winner nearly $2 million, and the classic-winning filly Cotton Blossom. Broken Vow stands for $25,000 live foal, and he stands at Pin Oak Stud, home also of Bob and John, a Grade 1 stakes winner of nearly $1 million by Seeking the Goal, multiple graded stakes winner and millionaire Cowboy Cal by Giants Causeway, and Eclipse Award winner Sky Classic. So our 59 stakes winners. Inquiries to Clifford Berry and see the website at pinoakstud.com. All righty, well, Dr. Doug Byers and Michael Blowen have both came in here wearing green, and they said it was St. Patty's Day, but that's...
It's every day is St. Patty's Day if you get to drink beer.
With all the Irish here, it's an official extension.
Yes. One of the few people to track us out here this morning was Jimmy Corrigan, who, of course, is from Ireland.
Uh-huh.
And Jackie was explaining to me that they don't know what the hell lightning is over in Ireland because they don't have any to speak of. So, you know, you could see him out there, you know, lightning slashing all around, and here comes...
I've seen lightning in Ireland. What is he talking about?
No, that's what I was told.
I saw lightning in Ireland. I made this terrible movie in Ireland once, and...
No, you were in a bar.
No, I remember the lightning. It ruined a whole day for us. Got the cameras wet, the lightning coming down the mountain. Really? Wild horses coming down the mountain at the same time on the same road. It was wild.
Okay. All right.
It would have been a good movie if the camera worked.
You win.
Have you ever seen lightning over there, Doug?
I have, but not much.
Okay. Yeah.
See, not much. See.
But I tell you, I've been there when it's just been so, so miserably cold. You know, I was there one time, and there was snow. And you don't get much snow in Ireland. And this guy driving me to the airport. And of course, they expect you to believe everything they say. And he wasn't joking with me. He says, when I was a kid, I grew up, we had snow all in the kitchen. And I said, well, how'd you get snow in the kitchen? Through the keyhole. They looked over like, yeah, that's believable, isn't it?
Really?
Yeah.
Well, Benji Ryan was one of the riders out here. Of course, he's from Ireland, and he was standing up here, came up and turned the horse around here one day and was standing there, and it was 40 degrees and raining, and I said, boy, I bet you feel right at home. He says, it's why I'm here.
You got to love these people.
Yeah.
What a game.
What's going on with you, Michael?
Well, we're raising some money. The fundraising's been going really, really well. We're up to almost $90,000 now. Charlie Pig, one of our supporters, sent us a check for $12,000.
Wow.
Yep. I mean, it's been unbelievable. People have been absolutely great. You gotta go on Steve Haskins' blog. He does this long comparison between old friends and It's a Wonderful Life. And George Bailey.
Which one are you?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, Steve's a great guy. But anyway, it's working out really, really well. You know, last week we had Jim Boughton here in Ball Four, went over to the track and did the works, and that was really good. And Jim had a great time, and he's very much a fan of the sport now. And he's going to come up to Saratoga when we have our party up there. And then we've got our big fundraiser coming up, Ferdinand's Ball, the Thursday before the Derby, and we just found out that DeMarcus Cousins is going to come. And
wow.
He's tweeting everybody, telling them that it's a fabulous organization and all this other stuff, so it's really, really nice. And then we have DeMarcus Cousins for those basketball fans, and then we also have, her name's Kate something. She's really good looking. She's a Sports Illustrated swimsuit model.
Oh.
Oh. Wait, hey, when's the date of this again?
And in the swimsuit.
She could practice this morning.
In the swimsuit issue, which I bought obviously for only scholarly purposes.
Yeah. Same reason it takes Playboy.
Wanted to read the articles.
Yeah.
Anyway. They actually painted her bathing suit on.
Ew.
Huh?
Ew.
Yeah, not you. You.
Oh.
Huh?
Oh.
Took them 13 hours.
That kind of staggers the imagination.
Yeah.
You know, I should have paid more attention in art class.
Here, I've been painting fences.
There you go, see? There you go. We missed out on everything.
Yeah, right.
It's a little too late. But that's really good. And I saw yesterday, I went over and got a bunch of things signed. The jockeys were signing a bunch of things over at Keeneland for the Disabled Jockeys Fund, which was really nice. And geez, there must have been 30 of them. It was really nice. And all the old guys sat together. Pat Day, Chris McCarron, and Jean Cougarol, Bobby Ussery. And Michael, what's his name, who rode Dust Commander? Michael, he rode Dust Commander. But anyway, Ursula will remember in a second.
I will. He's a steward down at River Dams.
Nice guy.
Mangero.
Yeah, yes, that's right.
Yeah.
So they were signing everything. So I had my coat on, so they signed the back of my coat. So we're going to auction that off. And that was really nice. And Julian Le Perreux and Kent DeSormer are coming over tomorrow, or I mean Monday or Wednesday, Monday or Tuesday, to see some of the horses and come to the farm. So
that's good.
Yeah, really good.
Yeah, very, very good, as a matter of fact. So the fundraising's going all right,
mm-hmm.
huh? Yeah, headed in the right direction anyway.
Yes.
Real good.
Yes, I'm not supposed to say anything more about my bank. My lawyer said, shut up. I said, okay, I will.
All right.
But I find out that we're not the only ones in that boat.
Is that right?
Mm-hmm. Oh, I'm not supposed to say anything. I forgot. All right, I won't say anything more. Sorry.
Geez, you just lost a lawyer, didn't you? Yeah, okay.
I have a question. I see on Facebook that you've got a lot of stuff for sale, jewelry and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, how does somebody check that out?
Well, they can go on the Facebook page, the old friend's Facebook page, and Vivian Morrison, who's actually staying at our bed and breakfast this weekend, handles all of that for us. She's really an amazing fundraiser. She's really, really good. We've got some things up on eBay. You know, we're basically cleaning out the basement to try and get up as much cash as we can to keep all of our options open. So, but the one thing everybody should know is the horses are in great shape. They're in no danger of losing their home. We're not going to have any homeless horses. They're going to do fine. And that's not going to be a problem. It's just a blip in the road because of the problems.
Yeah, because of a faux pas. Anyway.
Yeah.
I can see it.
Yeah.
Don't have your lawyer call me now.
Well, no, I'm not saying anything. Mum's the word.
All right. There were some great pictures somebody took up on and put them on Facebook. And the one of Ball 4 and you, and he's got his head to you, that's a great picture.
Yeah, he's a nice horse. Well, you know, Dr. Byers took care of him when he was a kid, and now he's taking care of him when he's old. He's over at Doug's farm, and he's running the place now.
Yeah. Where was he foaled, Doc?
Well, I didn't look at him as a foal. I looked at him at Keeneland, at the racetrack.
Oh, I see. Yeah.
He had a problem.
Who had him then?
Derek Galvin.
Okay.
Yep. And he had a problem that would have been kind of tough to turn around, and the horse turned it around. I mean, and he broke the track record.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, he had a little lung issue. Wasn't little, but just we didn't know if we could get him right. I think he had 9 days before the race.
Oh my goodness!
Yeah. But he came good.
He's got a beautiful eye.
He's amazing. He's amazing.
Yeah,
and you know, for a lot of his career, they used him as a rabbit for their good horses. You know, he's an old gelding, and they said, "Hey, what the heck?" I think there was one period of time where he raced 3 times in like 12 days, just as a rabbit.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Then he started winning stakes races. He goes, well, wait a minute. Maybe we can. He was like, remember Judge Antolucci that Charlie Whittingham used to always win use as a rabbit for Ferdinand, some of his other good horses. But then Judge Antolucci started beating these horses.
Yeah.
He said, maybe I should do something a little different.
I guess he was named after the local judge here.
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm.
Probably was.
Yeah. He was.
That's good. A lot of people who do that with our Dixiana. Jack Hodgins had, when Spy Song was in training, he had a filly named Fulmar, and she was by Heron, H-A-I-R-A-N, and she was fast. And she was the only thing that could carry Spy Song at any, you know, length of time. And he would break her off about 5 lengths in front of him, and of course he'd run her down. But he's claimed that he ruined her doing that. She did win races, but she never won stakes.
Yeah.
But she went on to be a stakes producer, though.
Well, he...
Funny thing, her first foal was a filly named Fulvus. No. No, Fulvus was a colt. What was it? I can't remember this filly's name anyway, but she was by Spy Song.
Uh-huh.
And she won both the Arlington Lassie and the Princess Pat.
Nice.
Up there. So the mating turned out anyway. And I'm ashamed of myself. I can't think of it. I guess it was Fulvus. Yeah, it was Fulvus because the colt was Fulcrum, full brother. All right, go ahead.
You know, sometimes it takes him a little longer, but you know he always gets it right.
Yeah.
It's unbelievable, isn't it? Yeah.
Well, see, I've lived so long and nobody knows whether I'm right or wrong.
Yes.
I've outlived everybody.
That might be the same check and balance system that Michael's bank uses.
That's right. Mum's the word.
Yeah. All right, Michael, let me do a commercial here and then we'll get Doc on.
Thank you, Ursula.
And, hey, I gave him a topic this time. The tub.
Oh, you did?
Yeah.
What's it going to... Oh, sorry, I was cheating. I was looking at his index.
Keep your eyes on your own paper.
He's going to talk about banks. Mizzen Mass covered 149 mares in 2008, and the resulting foals are 2-year-olds this year. This just well may be his best crop to race yet. So he not only has the numbers in his favor this year, but the quality as well. That said, remember that Mizzen Mass has sired as many as 24 2-year-old winners in a single crop, and then 9 of those 24 won are placed in stakes at 2. And remember that Mizzen Mass is a proven sire of grade 1 stakes winners, that he was the sire of 13 stakes horses, 8 of them stakes winners, in 2010, and that nearly half of them won are placed in graded stakes. Grade 1 stakes winner Mizzen Mass by the top sire Cosine stands for 12,500 live foal at Judmont Farm, home also of the young Grade 1 Stakes winner First Defense, Bon Bridlesong, out of Grade 1 Stakes winner Honest Lady, a half-sister by Seattle Slough to the proven Grade 1 sires Empire Maker and Chester House. First Defense stands for $7,500 live foal, his first foal, superb individuals or yearlings this year. Inquiries to Garrett O'Rourke or Aaron Fry and see the website at judmont.com. Well, Doc, are you and Susan in the house yet?
We are. We are. And then there's boxes and trash everywhere.
I knew that you were there, but I didn't know about Susan.
Right. Well, she finally came down there last night. But, I mean, when we open a box, you say, what did we keep that for?
Well, now's the time to weed things out.
Yeah. Well, I guess, but I wish we would have weeded them out before we put them all in storage and paid for that.
Yeah. So. There you go.
Now we had the iPods delivered, and we got them emptied out. Mm-hmm. Hopefully we'll get them removed, and it'll start to shape up.
Yeah. Well, of course, Carl Lumley is your builder, and passed inspection with flying colors, and he did a great job for you.
He did, and we got, he came in last night, and bless his heart, I guess, he helped one hook up the washing machine, right? He said, this thing's been hooked up wrong.
Yeah.
And the hose, so he drives all the way over to Lowe's and picks up a new hose and gets it hooked up so Susan can use the washer. But he's found a number of things that the vendors have had some problems with. I mean, and so the refrigerator, the filter and that thing got broken during the transport. And so anyway, we've had a number of things he's pointed out. So he's not just a builder. He's pretty good handyman.
Takes care of you.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, he's had some great customers. He's done a lot of them besides you, he worked for the Seitz family down in Brookdale, Denali Stud, neighbor of mine, Sarah Hamilton, and he'll build anything, house, barn, run-in shed. If you need like Doc's got his beer deck out there, he'll be your beer deck.
That's a custom work.
That's a custom work, yeah. And he does repairs too.
Yeah.
So, and he's, he gives you an estimate and he sticks to it. And no surprises. And he's got great references and competitive bids. So, his name is Carl Lumley and his phone number, it's an 859 number, it's 333-7914. He lives pretty close to me over on Hume Bedford.
Mm-hmm.
So, if you want to get in touch, if you forget the phone number, he hadn't got up a website yet. I've been fussing at him about that. I said, geez, Carl, you got to get up, even I have a website. I can't find it, but I know it's up there somewhere.
I don't have a website.
You don't?
No. Carl and I are a dying breed.
Right. Well, you're in good company. All right. Well, you can call me down in Bourbon County and I'll give you Carl's number. We'll get you in touch with him. That's Carl Lumley. He's been in business for 10 years, and he builds you a really absolutely nice kind of a home or anything you need there. Well, April 19 at Sunland Park, the $50,000 Sprint Stakes was won by It's My Party, a 3-year-old colt in the first crop by Unbridled Energy. Now, It's My Party ran second in his first start as a 2-year-old at Saratoga, came right back and broke his maiden at Churchill Downs, then went west where he won his one stakes, ran second in another, and was a fast-closing fourth in the Grade 3 Sunland Park Derby. Bred in Kentucky by Bloodstock Holdings and sold as a weaning at Keeneland for $90,000. It's My Party has already accumulated earnings of over $144,000. He's the second stakes winner from the first crop by Unbridled Energy. Miss Buxley broke her maiden as a 2-year-old at Oak Tree, then moved to Turf Paradise and won the Arizona Oaks. Unbridled Energy has sired 17 first crop winners, and they're winning at major tracks, Churchill, Santa Anita, Woodbine, the Fairgrounds. Three have won at Hawthorne, two over at Calder, two at Golden Gate. They've won at Turfway, Philadelphia, Laurel. Multiple graded stakes won Unbridled Energy by Unbridled Song, stands for $6,000. Due when the foal stands and nurses, with special breeding incentives available at Crestwood Farm. Inquiries to Pope McLean and see the website at crestwoodfarm.com. All righty, I've got Dr. Doug Byers with me this morning, and he, of course, does our weekly vet segment. And doctor, what are you talking about today?
Well, because you called me yesterday and said you had a friend of yours call in and say, see if Dr. Byers talk about epiphysitis.
All right.
So, and I like that. I like people to have me talk about something they're interested in, and the only way I know what out there is for them to call in. Mm-hmm. So we'll tackle epiphysitis. And, obviously I'm a medicine person, not an orthopedic surgeon, but we all cross the lines plenty in our career. So anyway, epiphysitis basically applies to the long bones of the body. So you're thinking about the cannon bone and pastern bones and things like that.
We used to call them fold bumps.
Call them what?
Fold bumps.
Fold bumps. Yep. So anyway, the epiphysis is between the physis, which is actually the growth plate. And then the physis is the soft cartilaginous bone that the foal is born with in those long bones. And below that is where they start laying down the calcium in the epiphysis, which is between the physis and the joint.
Mm-hmm.
So if you took the knee is probably the most common thing you look at. You can see physitis down on the end of the cannon bones as well, where it goes into the fetlock. So what's happening there is that the soft cartilage is sending the signals to develop mature bone cells to the epiphysis. And if something goes wrong, you lay down too much bone, or there's something that makes them subject, then the physis or epiphysis gets too big. And it can be too big on one side or both sides, and then the limbs start to change its angle. So it's all about bone growth, and that's what's going to happen. So when you get complete ossification, he's usually about 18 to 24 months of age in a thoroughbred, and so that's when the bone is finally starting to mature. But you know, you still can say, well, we can have a 2-year-old in training sale, and he's actually, because of the January 1st birth date, not even a 2-year-old, and we're trying to clock time on him. So he's got some immature bone that's going to take a hit during that heavy training. But anyway, those things all need to be taken into consideration. Those foals, usually 4 to 12 months of age is when you see epiphysitis.
Mm-hmm.
So now you can have it in a suckling foal.
Yearling.
Yeah, you can have a lot of yearlings have it.
Yeah.
You'll see these fields out there have got white on their knees and everything to poultice those legs and keep them quiet. The epiphysitis can be irritable. So when it's growing and they're pounding on it, then it can get hot and they can get lame. And so those are the ones you have to kind of keep up, maybe hand walk them, give them a little buke, get that inflammation out of there. We obviously associate this with growth, and fast growth is the worst predictor. And that fast growth can be how they use their nutrition. Whether the mare is a heavy nursing, you know, the foal really getting a lot of nutrition, and you see those bulky foals, and they're just big, big foals. Well, they're putting weight on the immature cartilage and bone they're trying to develop. Hereditary is a big factor. So you can take, and one form of epiphysitis is in the neck, and so you can get wobblers. So you can get mares that produce wobblers consistently or have big epiphysitis ones. And then you can wean them early to get them off those mares, try to control their weight, strategically. Their turnout time and how rough they are on those bones is another thing. A lot of farms now have round pens when they recognize they can need those things. So that's been added pretty commonly to most every farm. It's got somewhere to get these foals out of the stall and maybe into a more confined area until they can come through this stage. Most of it is a stage. If it gets to be severe, where they develop an angular limb deformity, then that's where the surgeons actually do come in and try and fix it. The farrier, that's what you're having the farrier do as well, is keep these foals balanced as much as possible so they don't start to develop crooked limbs.
Yeah.
Obviously, the further up the leg you get epiphysitis, the harder it is for the farrier to control that.
Yeah.
So, you take a fetlock epiphysitis, and they'll trim to correct that. If the limb starts to go the wrong direction, and we get what's called an angular limb deformity, then they'll put screws and wires to fix it, or used to do PEs. We don't do PEs much anymore. They pretty much were where they would strip the membrane off one side of the leg, so that you wouldn't have that periosteal membrane cinching down on one side of the bone and letting the leg grow crooked. But that's not been, that's not held up through time. So, and again, I always remember Barry Simon one time told me, you know, these foals are like rubber. They just change just like children do. And very few really need a lot of intervention. It's just good care, good management, and they outgrow most of the things. And they'll do all right. But epiphysitis is a concern, but not a huge worry. It's a stage they go through. All that bone growth kind of comes down to related to OCDs, which now do become more significant. And the OCDs that are the most significant would be higher in the leg. So a stifle might be more important than a hawk, but you still get OCDs. And so,
what if you had a say a sail julian that was going to sail maybe this next sail, you know, July, and you've got a touch of it? How would you treat it?
Well, you're in a catch 22 because the market's going to demand he be bigger and better, so you've got him on a high plane of nutrition anyway. Mm-hmm. We do have, to make him look fit, you're putting him on these Eurosizers and all these other things to make him have exercise, and he needs some exercise.
Yeah.
But he looks big and he looks bumpy. And some people will back off, but if you only got a month to go, he's not going to. You're not going to be able to back off a whole lot, but you've got that sale coming up. Well, so the catch 22 is
you'd have 2 months.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. You'd have 2 months. Yeah. And he might settle on down, and again, you might keep him on bute for a while. You might just hand walk him a little bit. You might put him in a round pen. Do something to get some exercise to him. Make sure he's trimmed properly, and he may come right through it, but a lot of them will go right to the sales to have some epiphysitis. We all see those things at the sales.
Yeah.
And the
would you turn one down if you saw a horse with a light case like it? You know, I mean,
not if his conformation was good.
Wouldn't bother you.
Wouldn't bother me. No.
Yeah. Well, that's good to know.
No, and conformation plays a role. You know, it's like I say, if they've got good conformation.
Well, I tell you what, if they're in that particular sale, July sale, their conformation is pretty good.
Right.
They're pretty demanding for that sale.
So if you had the right pedigree and you wanted to buy that individual, I wouldn't be too afraid of them. When you got him home, you'd back off on the feed.
Yeah.
And the pounding that he might be taking on there.
Yeah.
And again, what you'd want to be sure of is there's no lameness. You'd put your hand on there, feel if there's heat. And if there's heat on one side over the other, then he might have something that could be fairly active. But you don't see many of those there.
Yeah. So. Okay. Well, that's good.
All right.
That's good. Hope that satisfied the person.
Well, it's all growth. And in your management versus Mother Nature.
There you go.
Yep.
All right, Doug. Okay. Thank you. That was good. Learned a little myself today. Well, yesterday at Keeneland, the sixth race, a $50,000 maiden special for two-year-old fillies was won by Gypsy Robin, the very first starter from the first crop by De Hare. And Gypsy Robin put on quite a show, winning by a widening 7.5 lengths and setting a new track record, 4.5 furlongs and 50-1. She's freaky fast, just like her sire. Gypsy Robin was bred in Kentucky by Clarice C. Clark, Jr., and trained by Wesley Ward. Let us remind you that De Hare won the Grade 1 Cigar Mile in 1:33.3, posting a 1:14 buyer. That he won the Grade 2 Jerome, getting the first six furlongs in 1:08.1, and the mile in 1:34.1 for a 1:10 buyer. And that he is one of 10 Grade 1 Stakes winners by Breeders' Cup Classic winner Awesome Again, the sire of more winners of Breeders' Cup races than any active stud. Not only that, De Hare's full sister won Grade 1 Stakes and sold for $4,500,000 at auction, and his stakes-winning dam sold for $2,700,000, so it's a great family. De Hare's first starter wins first time out and sets a new track record at Keeneland. Her future looks great, and so does De Hare's. He stands for $7,500 live foal at Shadwell Farm. Inquiries to stallion manager Ken Barnes and see the website at shadwellfarm.com. All right, Jackie.
Oh. Well, Ralph Quillen is all over Facebook. You ever looked at Ralph Quillen? Be Ralph's friend. He puts a lot of
records up there. But in the meantime, oh, they had something like tourists coming. They're going to say that it's okay for tourists to come to see Quill and Leather and Tack. They had like 80 people in there the other day.
Is that right?
Yeah, they're going to do
something. I hope they brought their
wallets.
So does Ralph.
Yeah, they're going to do something, I think, about mentioning that, because it's a good place to stop and got a lot of souvenir-y kind of things in the gift shop.
Oh, it's a great gift shop.
Yeah. So I was trying to think. It wasn't 4-H, but it was some college equestrian something, seemed like, and they stopped in Quill and Leather and Tack.
Oh,
isn't
great.
That fun? Anyway, he's got a promotion now, Kentucky Hickory Twitches, available in two sizes. 48-inch is $34.95, and one man is $20.95. And if you don't know what a one man is, it's a short stick with a nylon loop at the end for the twitch, and then the other end's got a snap. So you twist it on, and then you bring it around the side of the halter and snap it to the top of the halter, and you are in business. Also, as happens every Rolex, he gets mobbed at Rolex. A lot of people come in because they know what a great shop it is. So if you want to get out there, get your dibs in before Rolex, which starts Thursday. So we're talking about Quillin Leather and Tack. Now that's Quillin. They're at 1929 Main Street in Paris, 98. Oh, I don't have the, you got the 987 number. The best place to do is to go to Quillin, Quillin.com. Here it is, 987-0215.
Come on in, Ron. Oh, excuse me. Spring at Last has been given every opportunity to become a successful sire. He was bred over 200 mares in his first two seasons at stud, a farm where every stallion now standing there with foals of racing age is ranked among the leading sires in one category or another. The first foals for Spring at Last will reach the races in 2012. Breed a mare to him now and sell with the support of his first crop success. And make no mistake about it, Spring at Last has all the prerequisites for sire success. He was a runner, a grade one stakes winner over $1,139,000. He's by Silver Deputy, who was represented by his 84th stakes winner when Joe Vann won the Grade 3 $300,000 Illinois Derby on April 9. His dam is by Dynaformer, who's ranked among the top 20 on the sire list 11 times. His dam produced three graded stakes winners, two Grade 1 stakes winners. His second dam won stakes and was a Grade 1 stakes producer, and there's black type as far as the eye can see. Now add the fact that his first foals, yearlings this year, are superb. Just call Robert Hammond at Windstar Farm. Ask about the special breeding incentives available to Spring at Last and see the website at windstarfarm.com.
I'm heading down the highway.
Ron Wallace has joined us, but he said he'd wait a few minutes while Jackie sits over in Blabs.
Let me run through this real fast. Of course, big deal at the horse park. This week starts the Kentucky 3-day, the Rolex 3-day. It's a 4-day, 3-day.
I always wondered about that.
I know. And if it's a 2-day, 3-day, it's called combined training.
Oh, okay.
So all that knowledge would get you absolutely nothing. Okay, it starts April 28th through May 1st. And this year, they are including the Kentucky Reigning Cup. April 29th and 30th.
Oh, yeah, Matt Howard was all excited about that.
Oh,
Matt,
the reigning?
Yeah, he's into reigning. His wife is, Crystal. He manages Gentry Farms over here.
Well, they've still got tickets for reigning, and they're going to be in the big arena. So you can get a hold of them on Facebook or, you know, call the horse park or anything.
That's
like
the inside
that.
Arena, isn't it?
That's the inside, the new Alltech Arena, so it's real nice.
Okay.
And
better be than the weather we're having.
Oh, yeah. I hope it clears up for this. Ooh. You know.
When is it?
Thursday.
Next
Friday,
Thursday?
Saturday.
Well, it's supposed to rain all the way through next Thursday.
Well, maybe that'll end it.
Well, maybe.
Because, man, that makes that cross-country course soggier than heck.
Yeah.
But the cross-country won't be till the weekend.
It's
first to be dressage.
If it stops raining, it's going to ruin my canoe renting business.
Canoe renting, but I wonder what he was doing when he was gone. I had other ideas.
I can rest easier. Anyway, after that, Derby weekend is the Intercollegiate Horse Show Association National Championship. And then, of course, in the future, May 22nd, High Hope Steeplechase. So, let's see. What have I got? Oh, if you want to go to Rolex and not pay, here's what you can do.
Sneak in.
The Secretariat Center is looking, exactly. Secretariat Center is looking for volunteers at their booth and Thursday through Sunday. And booth people will work 3 to 4 hours, so they're easy shifts. So you can go out there and hang out. They'll have water, snacks, and
water
uniform.
Snacks? What's a water snack?
Waters, comma, oh, water, oh, comma, okay. Snacks, comma. And they're going to give you a T-shirt. So what can you lose? This is great.
You can go
and
make it from the waist up then.
Oh, my. Help me. Help me. Help me. Anyway, there you are. If you want to try this, call Melissa at 246-3080. Now, here's one for you. Maple Swamp Farm is having a Pirelli clinic with 3-star Pirelli instructor Terry Wilson. And where, might you ask, is Maple Swamp Farm? Well, it's in Waynesburg. Well, you might ask,
where the hell is
Waynesburg? And I don't know. I don't know. All I know is that if you go to MapleSwampFarm.com, you can find out and go to a Pirelli clinic. There. I've said it. Kentucky Equine Humane Center Horse of the Week. Her name is Magic Eris. She's a bay thoroughbred. She's 4 years old. She's a filly. Her gender is filly. She's 15-1. Been ridden a couple times. She's sound, and she could do anything. She's got a nice... She moves nice, they said. She's not very big. 15-1, she make a nice pony clubber. Mm-hmm. That's so all you pony club kids, listen up. And the Kentucky Equine Humane Center All-Breed Charity Horse Show is Sunday, May 8th, day after Derby at Bally High Show, Stable in Versailles. That's George Brinsfield's place. It's on Pinkard. You go down Bluegrass Parkway, get off on 33, the first exit, turn left, go down to where the road, there's a fork in the road, turn left. And it's right down there. It's not very far at all. If you want to call Joyce or... we'll call the Equine Humane Center, 333-8885. All right, the Kentucky Thoroughbred Owners and Breeders Derby Trainers Dinner is May 3rd. Tickets are on sale. If you're interested in attending, go to 259-1643. That's over in Louisville. First of the big spring horse shows start at the horse park. May 11th through the 15th, and they're all jazzed up because they've got the new footing that they used in the Alltech Arena. Is they're using it in the other dressage things, the outside rings. One of them's the Murphy ring for
Bob, named after Bob Murphy.
Named after Mr. Huntsman, Master of the Hounds.
Oh, okay.
Robert
Murphy.
Pop, they call him, Dad, or whatever.
Kathy's dad.
Kathy Murphy's dad, right. So, that's coming up May 11th through the 15th. That runs for quite a while. It's fantastic. I want to mention my friend Peggy Manus, 846-9343. She's got a place in Midway. She takes great pictures. She's doing a lot of dog pictures and stuff nowadays, and she's got what she calls a hunt box. If you're looking for tack, used tack and stuff, she runs a consignment thing.
Doesn't she do the calendar for the Woodford County?
Yes. The Woodford Humane Center's calendar.
Yeah, she does almost all those pictures.
Oh, yeah.
It's
wonderful.
Calendar.
Yeah, she's super with dogs, cats, anything. It's not for me.
Oh.
EMS calling over there. All right, May 5th is a TOBA new owner seminar at the Derby Museum in Louisville, if you're interested. And also May 27th through the 29th is a breeding clinic here in Lexington, if you're interested, www.toba.org. Now, here's another thing about Rolex. If you want to walk the cross-country course
with Jim Wofford, which is a big deal. It's free. Just get in, volunteer for something and get in for free, and then you get to walk the course with him for free, and everything's good. It'd be Friday the 29th. That's coming up, so call the horse park again.
Let me interrupt you a second.
Go ahead.
I've got to pay a bill here. Yeah, Harlan's Holiday was represented by his 8th grade 1 stakes horse last Saturday when Twin Spired was beaten a head bobbing nose in Keeneland's grade 1 bluegrass stakes. The most recent grade 1 stakes winner by Harlan's Holiday is Majestic Perfection, co-considered by many to be the fastest sprinter in the country last year. His first grade 1 stakes winner is Into Mischief. Winner is a 2-year-old of the grade 1 cash call for Turdy, in which he ran a mile and a 16th and won 40-4. Sensational time for a 2-year-old. He won the cash call at the direct expense of future grade 1 stakes winner and millionaire Colonel John, and he had earlier sprinted 6.5 furlongs and won 14-1 to break his maiden. In 3 starts as a 3-year-old, first he ran 2nd in the grade 2 San Vicente, then he was a game 2nd in the grade 1 Malibu, then after an extended layoff, he won the $113,000 Damascus Stakes, won 7 furlongs and won 20-1. So Into Mischief had brilliant speed. Sired by the nation's number one ranked sire of 2011 stakes winners, and out of a stakes winning mare from a running family, Into Mischief stands for 8,500, doing a full stands and nurses, with a breed risk-free program available. Find out about that, just call Ken Wilkins or Des Dempsey or Sean Feld or Ned Toffee over at Spendthrift Farm. 294-0030 and see the website at SpendthriftFarm.com.
The American Produce Record CD-ROM is now in stock at PrisNet.com. The APR is packed with 50 years of North American broodmare production and race records, including statistics for all-weather starts, the only product of its kind. The APR includes sales data since 1986, as well as maiden stats on 2- and 3-year-olds of this year. Pedigrees dating back to 1950, the American Produce Records from Bloodstock Research Information Services is a must for industry professionals. Order the APR today at brisnet.com or call 859-223-4444.
Well, the Lexicon Equine Surgery and Sports Medicine, of course, is located right over on Georgetown Pike, right where Ironworks intersects there. And so is the Wycliffe Pharmacy.
Yes, Wycliffe Pharmacy.
Yeah. Well, of course, the surgery and sports medicine, that's operated by Dr. Wes Sutter, Dr. Bill Bernard, and Dr. Lori Bidwell. Dr. Bidwell is a board-certified anesthesiologist. She was formerly with Rood & Riddle. Of course, everybody knows Bill. Dr. Bernard, he spent 17 years with Rood & Riddle, and he heads the outpatient medicine division. And Dr. Wes Sutter is a board-certified surgeon, and he completed his residency up at Ohio State, and had been down in Ocala with the Ocala Equine Hospital down there. And of course, he was also associated with Rood & Riddle, but now they formed this, and what it is, it's an elective surgery outpatient medicine facility where if you want a chip removed or something like that.
Elective, something you've elected to do.
You call them up, you make an appointment, you go in, they take care of you, and they send you home. And it's very fast.
I wonder if they give me a facelift. Yeah, and send me home. They're good.
Yeah, they're anyway, it's a great facility, and it's an unusual facility in that it eliminates, by sending you home, it eliminates a lot of the
infectious diseases
that you can pick up, just like a human can pick one up in a hospital. You know, you go in for an ingrown toenail, and you come down with some kind of weird disease while you're there.
The disease of the day.
The disease of the day.
Okay, can I talk about the pharmacy?
Yeah, well, it's right next door. Yeah, Wycliffe, go ahead.
Yeah, well, what's so wonderful about it is it's a compounding pharmacy, and I'll explain what that is. There's only 2 human ones in this area. I know one's in Georgetown, but as far as I know, it's the only equine compounding pharmacy because most pharmacies order medicines and they come in size 1, 2, 3, 4, whatever. And that doesn't always fit. One size doesn't always fit all. But when you have a veterinarian call them, they will compound what you want so they can prescribe a specific strength. And they're flavored too, so they've thought of everything. But it's really a terrific idea. Wish I'd thought of it.
Mm-hmm.
So that's
Jackie Bernard started that, you know. That's Bill's.
It's real smart.
Will Bill's much better half.
Yeah.
And we knew Jackie when she trained out here. So, you know, she's got a horse background.
Yeah. So let me give you her phone number, 389-7470.
What's your website, Jackie?
WycliffeRx.com.
Okay, and it's Lexington Equine Surgery and Equine. And their website is LexingtonEquine.com right there. And great people to do business with.
Okay, me?
I don't know.
Yeah, me.
Yeah.
Okay. Kim Jedlicky trains out here. She's a member of the Scott County Women's Club. And
did I join?
Get out. She and the Scott County Women's Club is having a pre-derby party because they're going to benefit. It's for charity. Quest Farm, Habitat for Humanity, Georgetown Reading Readiness Preschool, and Amen House, Georgetown. Hallelujah. Anyway, this Kim Jedlicky has, isn't that nice? She and Frank are providing their farm with a place for this party. It's Thursday, May 5th at 6 o'clock, and it's $75 a person. Open bar. Open bar. You get more than one drink if you want. Anyway, it's catered. There's going to be dancing with live music, and if you want some more information, that's a nice thing they're doing.
Yes, it is.
Because that makes
money. They're nice people.
Yeah. 502, which is Georgetown, 867, also Georgetown, 8056.
Yeah, Frank trains out here. Go ahead.
Okay, Wednesday, May 4th, watch the Today Show, because they came and did a feature on the North American Racing Academy, Chris McCarron's place over here. So
when does the Today Show come on?
I think they come on at 6 o'clock or 7. Anybody know?
Anybody know?
I don't watch it.
I've never seen it.
Me either. Not since since the early 50s.
Go ahead.
When there was only three stations. But anyway.
Black and white.
Wednesday, yeah, black and white. We're going to get a color TV one day, aren't we, honey?
Well, we're going to have to. Ours, you can't, around the corners, you can't read. It's fuzzy.
And you know, it's taking it time to warm up. I didn't think TVs warmed up anymore. Remember how you used to have to turn them on
it's
and
starting to clank
warm
a little bit, too.
Anyway, that's Wednesday, May 4th for the Today Show. Now, if you noticed last night, there was some damage out on Romney Road. Some wind damage. Right near the Tulip Bistro and Bar, our favorite place to eat. This is Spencer Vandenduel, the chef out there. Now, Chef Vandenduel was the chef at the Black Tulip.
In Midway.
Fabulous food. Food's absolutely terrific. So he has transplanted the bulb. And it is now the Tulip Bar, Bistro and Bar. French-American cuisine, 355 Romney Road. And they had a really nice write-up in the Lane Report in Dining with the Bluegrass.
Mm-hmm.
I'll quote, Tulip's interior provides a rich, romantic, and inviting atmosphere.
Yeah, who wants to eat?
Well, I do. I can eat in any atmosphere. But it's delicious. The food's great. Can't say enough about it. And they're great people. Let me give you their phone number because you probably should get a reservation. It's 367-6687. That's the Tulip Bistro and Bar.
On Romney Road.
Okay, somebody keeps calling me.
Guess who?
I wonder who. Windstar Farm has a new fun thing called Stablemates. You can join it for free. Go to WindstarStablemates.com. You get games, contests, farm cameras. You can watch and click on your computer and see what's going on the farm with the farm cameras. That's a lot of fun. And speaking of farm cameras, that's our buddy Sean Dameron. He puts them up, and what's interesting, they put up the cameras. You can get it on your smartphone, on your iPad. I'm watching Ressie while I'm saying this, so if I say it wrong.
Because he's the only one who knows what the hell we're talking about.
Exactly.
Here.
Well, if I say it wrong, he'll throw something at me. And on your computer, so you can sit in the house, and you can see what's going on in your farm, yard,
yeah,
building, whatever. Give Sean a call. It's 230-6449. Oh, cross-country schooling day, Sunday, May 15th at the Horse Park.
Well, last Saturday at Santa Anita, the grade $300,000 San Simeon Handicap was won by Regally Ready, a four-year-old son of More Than Ready, and the day before at Oaklawn, Road Ready, a three-year-old colt but More Than Ready, won the Bachelor Stakes. Then on Sunday, the grade two Beaumont at Keeneland was won by Turbulent Descent, a three-year-old filly by last year's leading freshman sire. Congrats. Regally Ready was bred by Grape Stock, a division of Vinery, and he carries the Vinery Silks. He has won two straight stakes at Santa Anita, has won six times and been in the money in 11 of his 12 starts, and has earned nearly $300,000. Road Ready won his first start in the Lost in the Fog Stakes at Golden Gate. He was bred by Gulf Coast Farms and sold as a two-year-old in training for $300,000. More Than Ready was the nation's number one ranked sire of two-year-olds in 2010, and he ranked number three on the general sire list. Turbulent Descent is one of two grade one stakes winners from Congrats First Crop. You're invited to visit Vinery to inspect the stallions and the Vinery facilities for rehab, breeding, boarding, sales. Ask about the Vinery racing partnerships also. Inquiries to John Gasper, Francis Rillahan, or Grant Williamson. See the website at vinery.com.
When Jackie and I moved to Bourbon County, that was about 25 years ago, we checked around to see where we should go for our insurance needs. The name that kept coming up was the Hopewell Company. So we had a talk with Ted McLean at the Hopewell Company. We've been doing business with him ever since. And believe me, we've been more than satisfied. The Hopewell Company is an independent insurance agency. They don't work for an insurance company. They work for you. And they represent a carefully selected group of financially sound, reputable companies, so they are able to offer the best coverage at the most competitive price. The folks at Hopewell are prepared to provide you with a no-cost, no-obligation review and comparison of your insurance. The Hopewell Company in Paris, established in 1955 by Joe McLean, is a full-service insurance agency. Give them a call, 987-2347. Or better yet, stop by the office at 820 Main Street in Paris. They're nice people, and they do a great job for you.
ESPN Sports Radio 1300, broadcasting live from the Mingy Beef Jerky Studios.
Mingy Beef Jerky, you'll love it as much as we do.
This is WLXG AM Lexington.
Well, April 16th at Woodbine, the $150,000 Woodstock Stakes was won by O Canada, a three-year-old son of Proud Citizen. O Canada broke his maiden in his first start as a two-year-old last November at Woodbine, and the Woodstock was his first start this year. His victory follows close on the heels of Happened Again score in the grade three $125,000 Razorback Handicap at Oaklawn. Of course, he also by Proud Citizen, and he is placed in graded stakes. It's his third graded stakes placing, as a matter of fact. Proud Citizen has sired 38 stakes horses to date, and 16 have won a placed in graded stakes, including two graded stakes winners already in 2011. He has sired an Eclipse Award winner in Proud Spell, who counts among her major stakes wins, the victories in the Grade 1 Kentucky Oaks and the Grade 1 Alabama, for earnings of over $2,131,000. Proud Citizen's present crop of two-year-olds is his best ever, so the future really looks good. Winner of the Grade 2 Coolmore Lexington Stakes, second in the Grade 1 Kentucky Derby, third in the Grade 1 Belmont Stakes, and the son of Sire Sires, Gone West. Proud Citizen stands for $10,000 live full with attractive breeding incentives available at Mr. and Mrs. Brereton C. Jones Airdrie Stud. See the website at airdriestud.com. And remember, the Airdrie Stallions are your key to racing profit. Alrighty, well, we're starting the second hour of this fiasco, whatever it is. And I've got Ron Wallace with me. Ron is the founder and, I guess, sole proprietor of the equine farm management firm. Is that correct?
That's it. I'm mostly it.
You're
some,
it.
With some help.
Well, who's your help?
Well, I've got Christine Collins. She's my office manager. She works on one of the other farms, too. And my office is right now, it's out of Chanticleer Farm.
Oh, Chanticleer Farm.
That's near Midway.
Okay. Now, that's a new farm that you...
No, I've been with them since 95. Built it and...
Is that right? And still manage it?
Uh-huh.
And you still manage it?
Yeah.
Well, tell people exactly what you do. It's really kind of hard to explain in a nutshell because you do too much.
Basically, I try to just help owners with their farms. That's the bottom line. Mostly help the smaller farms. I like to get started in the ones that from the ground up in the building and design. But I've got several farms that just have had management problems, help problems, accounting problems, and we can take it over and straighten it all up.
Straighten it out.
Uh-huh. A lot of times I'll hire managers and hire the crews, and after a few months, they don't need me anymore.
Yeah.
So I move on to the next client. I've had several clients for a long time, and then some for 2 or 3 years, and they're on their own.
You stay, but you will stay and manage them. And you've got a background in farm management.
Well, actually, I got my master's in equine reproduction. That's how I started.
Mm-hmm.
Just everything leads down different roads in life, and this is where I ended up.
Yeah, where's that, Arizona? You were from New Mexico, weren't you?
Arizona, New Mexico, Colorado. I received my bachelor's at Arizona State, but then I got my master's at Colorado State.
Mm-hmm. Was your family involved with horses?
My grandfather, yeah.
What did he do?
Oh, he was in Colorado. He had a small farm and was fair manager and stuff like that. We started with Arabians, actually.
Is that right?
Yeah, and then out of school, I ended up with a farm in New Mexico, Texas, in El Paso, that was thoroughbreds and quarter horses.
Yeah.
Of course, I was more into quarter horses, didn't know much about the thoroughbreds.
Yeah. Though that area, you would be.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And, but then when I came over here and saw Lexington, in October, I had green overdose. Never seen anything so green in my life.
Yeah.
And fell in love with the place.
Yeah, so, and then moved here.
Moved here in 80. Been here ever since.
1980. Well, what was your first job when you got here in 80?
From here, at Spendthrift. I was assistant broodmare manager at Spendthrift.
Okay.
Yeah.
Who was managing then?
John Williams.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
John Williams and Rick Nichols. And that
of course, Rick's over at Shadwell, man, running
right
now.
Yeah, it was a good crew. A lot of good people.
A lot of people. Oh yeah, John hired a lot of first class people.
Yeah,
he went on into business and John was a top horseman.
Yeah,
yeah. He and Lee Eaton buddied up and formed Eaton Sales. You know.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Did you ever work for Lee?
No, never worked for Lee. Didn't know him very well.
You want to turn that off over there? There you go. That was a walkie-talkie in the background there.
But Spendthrift was a really good introduction to Kentucky and the thoroughbreds. Because my background was so limited in both areas, Kentucky or thoroughbreds.
Were you working with yearlings or with studs? Or
mares.
Mares and foals. Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. Did you ever know Mr. Combs?
Oh, would see him, pass through the farm, talk to him, but that's about it.
Oh, he was a great guy.
Oh, he's a character.
Oh, he really was. I'll tell you a little story about that. One of my sponsors now, Spendthrift Farm, and they were, of course, that's B. Wayne Hughes now.
Yeah.
But they remodeled one of the yearling barns. And when they went to do it, they noticed that the stalls were about 2 inches higher inside than the hallway. So if you walked up and looked in, oh, look at this, a nice big boat there, boy.
Yeah, I could see that.
He didn't miss a trick,
no,
did he?
Uh-uh.
Yeah. No. So you went from there, from where, after you left Spendthrift?
Then I managed one of Three Chimneys Satellite Farms.
Okay. And which one?
Kinnery.
Where was that located?
That was out 60 toward Frankfort, over by Grassy Springs, Pin Oak, where Pin Oak is now.
Oh, okay.
That area.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. And was there with Dan Rosenberg. And another
good horseman.
Oh, yeah, another good introduction to everything around here. And then I went to Buck Pond, which is in Versailles.
Yeah. Was that when Susan
Proskauer?
Proskauer had it?
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
I was with them.
Yeah, I was really fond of Susan.
Yeah. She what a history.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, they're incredible people.
Yeah, she's one that, didn't she ski out of?
Ski out of Germany in New Year's.
To escape the Nazis?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
Yeah, she bred a really nice mare, Drum Top,
yeah. And then when I was there, it was Shirley Georgie, which is probably off in that same line.
Yeah,
I think.
Well, Drum Top was a round table mare that was a champion grass mare. You know? Yeah. I mean, she was great.
Yeah,
she was real proud of that. She and George.
Yeah.
Yeah, they were really nice people. I really liked them.
Yeah.
Yeah. And they raised good horses. How long did you work with Susan?
3 years. Yeah. 3 years. I was there 3 years.
Yeah. She's been gone a long time now.
Yeah. They must have passed away just a few years after I left.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. Where'd you go from there then?
Then Judmont.
Okay.
Yeah. And general manager at Judmont for 7 years, 6 years, six, 7 years.
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm. It's grown a little bit, hasn't it?
Yeah, well, it grew from like 600 to 1,600 acres when I was there.
So you had a chance to see a farm really develop, then, didn't you?
And that's basically where I started kind of getting an eye and an interest in developing farms and watching the layout. With Horse Shock was a U.K., horticulturist, or not a horticulturist, but designer that helped them lay out their farms.
Yeah.
And I got to know him, and he was really good to work with.
Let me take a little break here, and then I want to ask you about that. Well, last Saturday, Oak Lawn, the Grade 1 $1 million Arkansas Derby, of course, that's a major stepping stone for the Kentucky Derby, was won by Arch, a three-year-old colt by Arch. Arch is the seventh Grade 1 stakes winner by Arch, a major source of classic stamina, a point driven home by the fact that Arch must be considered a leading contender for the upcoming Classics. By the success of Eclipse Award winner and Breeders' Cup Classic victor, Blame, and by the fact that Arch has sired 4 year-end champions. Arch, bred in Kentucky by Grape Stock, that's a division of Vinery, has also won the Grade 3 Southwest Stakes at Oak Lawn and the Sugar Bowl Stakes at the Fairgrounds, and he has earned more than $832,000. Grade 1 stakes winner Arch by Chris S. out of Aurora by Danzig stands for $30,000 doing the foal stands and nurses at Claiborne Farm. So in your search for classic stamina, take a close look at the Arch yearlings at the major auctions. In other stakes, the Harmony Lodge at Gulfstream was won by Tar Heel Mom. That's a graded stakes winning daughter of Flatter, who, like Arch, stands at Claiborne Farm. Inquiries to Bernie Sams and see the website at Claiborne Farm. com.
Here are two names to remember in the horse business, the Clay Ward Agency and Indian Creek. The Clay Ward Agency, founded in 1931 by James Clay Ward, has been providing the finest in equine insurance for some 80 years. Success was based on hard work, dedication, attention to detail, great service, and a thorough knowledge of the horse business. Quality still carried on today. Whatever your insurance needs, if it pertains to the thoroughbred, the professionals at the Clay Ward Agency are positioned to supply the best coverage at the best price available. Give Shaq Parrish, Bruce Isaacs, or John Hess a call, 987-1861, or stop by the office at 1102 Main Street in Paris. Ask about the services available also at Indian Creek, where many of the major stakes winners, both here and abroad, first saw the light of day. Indian Creek has raised, boarded, and sold many of the world's finest thoroughbreds, and the Clay Ward Agency has insured many of the world's finest thoroughbreds. Indian Creek and the Clay Ward Agency, that's a winning combination.
Well, Grade 1 stakes winner Majestic Warrior, he is by champion Cy A.P. Indy out of the multiple Grade 1 stakes winner Dream Supreme. It's a Grade 1 pedigree. Majestic Warrior won the Grade 1 Hopeful Stakes as a 2-year-old. He's the only Grade 1 winning 2-year-old colt by his great sire to win Grade 1 stakes under a mile. Recently retired, A.P. Indy is a noted sire of sires. Last year's leading freshman sire, congrats, is by A.P. Indy. There's a Malibu Moon, Pulpit, Mineshaft, to mention just a few. Majestic Warrior's Dam won the Grade 1 Ballerina, the Grade 1 Test, the Grade 2 Distaff Breeders' Cup Handicap, the Grade 2 Humana Distaff, the Grade 3 Princess Rooney, the Grade 3 Gallant Bloom, and over $1 million. Majestic Warrior's Second Dam, Spinning Round by Dixieland Band, also won the Grade 1 Ballerina, plus Keeneland's Alcibiades, the Forward Gal Stakes, Vagrancy, all graded, and she earned over $639,000. The third dam is a daughter of Secretariat. Majestic Warrior's first three dams are all Grade 1 stakes producers. First foals by Majestic Warrior Yearlings stands at Coomore's Ashford Stud, home of the nation's number one ranked sire for the past 2 years. Leading sires, potential leading sires, only at Coolmore. I'm talking to Ron Wallace with the Equine Farm Management Firm, a firm that he established back in 1995. That would have been 16 years ago, according to my old Russell Cave School math.
Yep, that's right.
All right. I've just bought 150 acres over here, and I don't know how to set up a horse farm.
Okay.
I'm going to say, Ron, what's the first thing I should do? I've got all kinds of money. You spend it for me.
All right. Well, the first thing is, what kind of horses? What kind of operation? Do you want mares and foals? Do you want to raise your own?
Breeding for the market.
Breeding for the market. So you maybe get about 10 mares and raise the foals out of those. And what I'd like to do is just spend a week or two just walking the land, getting to know it before I get started.
Mm-hmm.
And then the next thing that's important to me is what kind of vision the owner wants. What kind of farm you vision? Do you want a big fancy stone farm with stone barns?
Mm-hmm.
Or do you want the regular
A
working farm. That's good. That makes it easy. And then I just try to figure out where to put the buildings and the roads, make everything flow and easy to maintain. Mm-hmm. That's the key.
Yeah.
Safety for the horses and ease of maintenance. Those are the two keys.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, I don't know anybody around here. How do I get help?
Well, I'll just start, if we start construction, we'll get 3 or 4 contractors. Once we get the barns designed and...
Call Carl Lumley for that.
And Carl.
Yeah.
There you go. And get prices on the structures. Get estimates on putting the roads in, water lines, getting all that going. And press on. And then I'll find the managers and the crew and get them going. It usually takes 2 years, I've decided, to get a crew from ground up and get them started working together. Mm-hmm. And after 2 years, they're pretty much...
You've weeded out the bad ones.
You've weeded out the bad ones. They work together. They understand what needs to be done. You've got them the minimal number of help that you need for that operation.
Mm-hmm. Would you manage that farm for a little while until we get it going, or...?
Yeah, I usually stay around until they decide that I'm superfluous.
Yeah.
Okay. They don't need my expense anymore.
You're going out, you're welcome.
Yeah, exactly. like I tell all the owners, most of my owners are out of state, out of country. Mm-hmm. And I tell them I usually enjoy their farms and horses way more than they do.
Right. Okay, so how familiar are you with trainers around here? Do you, would you recommend a trainer?
Yeah, I wouldn't say I'm an expert on that because I've just had experience with a few trainers, and I have a few small...
So all you need is a few good ones.
Right.
Yeah.
And a few racing stables that I... oversee.
Mm-hmm.
But I say oversee, I pay the bills and keep track of the horses.
Mm-hmm.
But the trainers, I leave it up to them.
There's a whole lot of paperwork involved and everything, like
licensing and all
that stuff, you take care of that?
Take care of that, yeah. Basically, that's the concept of the Equine Farm Management, was to have my office, the small farms, 200, 300, 400 acre farms, don't need an office, don't need a full-time secretary.
Mm-hmm.
And so then my office kind of acts as that, so we just
do
it.
Do you still do that with a number of farms?
Oh, yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
You pay their bills for them?
Pay their bills. Yeah.
Is that right?
Uh-huh.
Well, that's a big convenience.
Keep track and do budgets for them. Work with the managers to do budgets.
Yeah.
And double check everything. That's one of the things too that helps, especially the out of country owners. Sometimes they aren't sure that their assets are being looked after.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they want that extra comfort of having somebody else kind of look after their assets. Yeah.
How many farms are you currently involved with like that now, you say?
Right now there's only, I just finished building two and they're done, gone. And I've got Chanticleer Farm, which that's the one I've been with since we built it in 95. But it's going to be phased out pretty soon because the owner passed away.
Mm-hmm.
And I'll Elm Tree and Summer Wind, I have very little to do with them, but Jody and Mark have me out occasionally to say where they want to put a new barn or something like that.
Yeah. You got a question, Tim?
Yeah, I've got a couple of questions.
Sure.
What do you do about ponds nowadays? Do you leave them? Do you drain them? Do you fill them in? What do you do about water flow?
Well, I try to make water flow go where it wants to with least problems.
Right.
If you can have a pond that works, it's viable, keep it. It's great. It's a great asset.
Okay.
If you want to try to make a pond,
that's in trouble.
That is a lot of expense and could be a lot of headaches.
Yeah. Okay. What about fencing? What do you do? Your perimeter fencing the same as your interior fencing? What?
Well, that's
wire or what?
Well, I mean, it's all a matter of opinion. There's pros and cons about everything.
Yeah.
I mean, I would say I probably like V-mesh fencing over anything.
Is that right?
But it's more expensive and more a hassle. So generally, I just have four board.
Yeah, I have a friend that has it, and she said they had to get a metal detector because the staples would.
Oh, yeah. Well, you do that with nails, too, after you build it and all that. There's nails everywhere. And
yeah, I don't know. I don't know that we've had too much problem with nails. But she said they pop.
They pop them on the existing.
Well,
that could happen. I've never run into that problem, but that's part of it. The simplest is the four board regular fence. You know, then the new things are some of the vinyl fencing, but I haven't tried that.
What do you think about that vinyl? Hello?
Well, it might be okay. The ones I've seen, they've had to add the electric fence to keep them off the vinyl.
Oh, funny.
And so I don't really, that's kind of like an extra problem.
Yeah.
Well, and there was a farm heading from Paris to Georgetown that had vinyl, and every year it got more green. It developed algae.
Yeah.
Something awful.
That's the white, probably.
Yes.
Yeah.
It was white.
I've seen that.
And yeah, that's enough to turn me off.
Yeah. This farm that you developed out here on the Paris Pike, as you're going out, you go past Terry's store,
Hurricane Hills.
Hurricane Hills. Jackie and I have been watching that, and that's a gorgeous place. You developed that.
Yeah, I laid that one out. That was a fun project. Yeah. Doug Branham owns that.
Is that right?
Uh-huh.
And we had commented about that's
those barns are
great looking
gorgeous.
Barns.
Yeah.
How many stalls in those things?
I think there's 20 in each.
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
How big a Bootleg brand do those people have?
Oh, right now, I don't know. I haven't been on that farm for a couple of years. They might have 30.
Is that right?
Yeah.
Must be big stalls 20 in those 30. Barns.
How many acres do they have in there?
Well, I think he's got, don't quote me, must be 300 acres on the one you're talking about. He has another 500 acres up the road that he hasn't developed yet. Mm-hmm. And that's a gorgeous piece of land, you know, so I keep bugging him we need to fix that one up.
Yeah, I bet you do.
Would you rather come in on an old cattle farm with nothing on it to start?
That's the easiest.
Yeah.
And the most fun. The ones that you come on that an owner has bought that has been allowed to fall apart, those are difficult because you never know, sometimes you don't know what you should take down and what's worth leaving and fixing. Mm-hmm. You know,
I've got one more question. What do you do about the grass? You start in right away with the herbicides and seeding and stuff? And
right away. Yeah.
Right away,
basically, the grass goes on, you know, from day one, you keep working on the grass.
Working on the grass. Yeah. That's a pain. But
Well, Ron, that's very interesting, I tell you.
It's fun.
Is it? Well,
yeah.
That's great. Well, you enjoy
that's
what you're doing.
That's a great niche.
Yeah.
You found it for yourself.
Yeah. Now you've done out of state work too.
Yeah, farm in New York and a couple of farms in Florida, mostly live oak.
That's a big operation.
That's a big, gorgeous operation, and I've just helped them with their management.
Mm-hmm.
And
yeah, that would be a whole lot different here in New York and Florida.
Oh, they're all different, especially when when you get down to the pastures and all that, it's a whole different ball game. And New York is so wet. You know, they have some really wet areas. The farm that I developed did.
Really?
And then the snow. You know.
Yeah. There you are.
Yeah.
Is that a thoroughbred farm?
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You got a website.
Uh-huh. Yeah. www.equinemanagement.com.
That's easy.
Yeah. www. So basically what you do is you can set up a farm for somebody, get it running till it's running really good. And then that's it.
That's it. Yeah.
Unless they want him to stay.
Unless they want you to stay.
Yeah, take the headache out of it.
Right. Yeah, basically.
Because it's a headache.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, it can be.
Yeah, because you have to know.
Know what you're doing. Yeah. All right, well, that's fun. Well, Ron, thank you for coming by.
Well, we appreciate it. Thank you much. It's been fun.
Yeah, it is.
Thanks, guys.
We appreciate it.
Stop in any time.
Yeah.
Okay.
Bring your own beer and a folding chair.
I will. Thanks.
All right. Well, Miz and Mass covered 149 mares in 2008 and the resulting foals of two-year-olds this year. This just well may be his best crop to race yet. And so he is not only has the numbers in his favor this year, but the quality as well. That said, remember that Mizzen Mass has sired as many as 24 two-year-old winners in a single crop, and that 9 of those two-year-olds won are placed in stakes. And remember that Mizzen Mass is a proven sire of grade 1 stakes winners, that he was a sire of 13 stakes horses, 8 of them stakes winners in 2010, and then nearly half of them won are placed in graded stakes. Grade 1 stakes winner Mizzen Mass by the top sire Cozine stands for 12,500 live foal at Judmont Farm. Home also of the young Grade 1 Stakes winner First Defense by Unbridled Song out of Grade 1 Stakes winner Honest Lady, a half-sister by Seattle Sioux to the proven Grade 1 sires Empire Maker and Chester House. First Defense stands for 7,500 live foal. His first foals, superb individuals, are yearlings. Inquiries of Garrett O'Rourke or Aaron Fry and see the website at judmont.com. I want to talk about my good buddy Tom Biederman, Biederman Real Estate and Auctioneers. And, Jackie, you picked out some of the farms that you want.
Yeah, well, being me, I picked out the cheapest ones.
We're going to get Ron Wallace to come in and fix them up for us.
Good plan.
Oh, yeah, you like
what
that,
a great
huh?
idea. He has got some that aren't 4 and 5 million, although he has a boatload of those.
Yeah.
Nice, beautiful, gorgeous things. But I picked out ones that I thought people like me could even aspire to. Oh, first, there's a townhouse at Griffin Gate. Those don't come up much. And that's the place to live. It's on the 17th Fairway. How about that?
You can go out there and cheat a little bit.
Uh-huh. 1,857 square feet, and you can sell it furnished. The pictures are gorgeous. It's for $315,000. And 6855 Mount Horeb. If you want a big house on 9 acres, 5341 square feet. It's $595,000.
Some good places out our way, too.
Yeah, and I've got this one on Russell Cave. 40 acres, 10, 12 stall barn, run-in shed, asphalt roads. Boy, I'd kill for an asphalt road. $625,000.
So we got a gravel path.
We've got, yeah. Every time it rains, you think it washed out the road?
That's Tom Biederman, Real Estate and Auctioneer. Tom's a great guy. He's got great people working for him. And here's his website. It's BiedermanBrokerage.com. BIEDERMAN Brokerage.com. Let me give you his phone number. It's 277-2030. Tom, of course, is a horseman. He knows what horsemen want, what they need. And he'd be glad to list your place, or he'd be more than glad to sell you one. So just give him a call. That number again is 277-2030.
Sally Van Service, or Sally Van, you can depend on the fact that the person behind the wheel is one of the best in the business. The folks at Sally Van Service wouldn't have it any other way. And that's why for more than half a century, Sally Van's has been the safest way to the winner's circle.
Well, McCauley Brothers Associates bred the winners of four graded stakes last Saturday. Archer Charge, winner of the Grade 1 $1 million Arkansas Derby, and Regally Ready, winner of the Grade 2 San Simeon Handicap at Santa Anita, were both bred by Grapestock, a division of Vinery. Keeneland's Grade 2 Jenny Wiley Stakes was won by Never Retreat, bred by Jerry O'Meara and Stanley Inman. Saw Stanley yesterday at the Y. And the Grade 2 Santa Barbara Handicap at Santa Anita went to Malibu Pier, bred by B. Wayne Hughes, master of Spendthrift Farm. Congratulations to all from their friends at McCauley Brothers, the only feed mill in Kentucky devoting 100% of their time and efforts producing products exclusively for the horse. The ever-growing success of McCauley clients is a testimony to the quality of McCauley products, and the folks at McCauley's are proud to be associated with many of the world's finest horsemen. They would also like to add your name to their list of successful customers. Just contact Steve Baker or Mike Warren, 873-3333, or stop by the office at 111 Broadway in Versailles. McCauley Brothers, where it's all about the horse. I've got Steve Moody with me. Steve, the author of the Kentucky Handicapper Sheet. And that's published, of course, by our good friends over at Bloodstock Research Information Services. And the big one out of Keeneland today, they're running several stakes. I guess, which one, the Coolmore Lexington or the Ben Ally? Which one would you like to look at, Steve?
Well, I guess 3-year-olds. That'd be the last big Derby prep, I suppose.
Yeah, unless you count the Derby trial.
Yeah, well.
And obviously you're not counting the Derby trial. Go ahead.
Well, short field in the Lexington Stakes, just six in there. There's no scratches as of a few minutes ago. Of course, the poly track will be unaffected by the weather from last night and this morning, and it'll be in good shape. So, you know, the horse to beat in here, Ursel, is the two-horse Silver Medallion. The only sort of, I guess, knock that you have against him is he ran poorly and has only started at Keeneland. And you just kind of wonder if it was just not his day or if he just maybe didn't care for the racetrack. He obviously handled the synthetic surface out on the West Coast, but maybe just didn't like the Keeneland version of synthetic. It's kind of hard to know, but at 8-5, I was kind of willing to maybe take a stand against him. He got, I think just about anybody could win this race. The One Horse Derby Kitten is a horse that's been running on grass, that's been second his last couple starts for Mike Maker and the Ramseys. This horse is, I think, one you have to look at if he handles the surface. Again, you got a horse that's switching surfaces today. Prime Cut, same deal for him. Comes up for Neil Hired from been running on the dirt. So he's trying a new surface today. The four Hurricane Lake, 1-2 in a row, but against lesser company. So he's got a class jump to make. The five Tap Town ran in the Spiral and fared poorly, but I don't really think that was his best effort there. I think that you can kind of throw that race out. I kind of think he could run well at a price today. And then the bottom horse, Casper's Touch, very impressive winner out of Keeneland on opening day and for Kenny McPeak. And he's the leading trainer out there. It seems like every one of his runners has just been coming over there and just ready to go. That race that Casper's Touch won was a 7-furlong sprint, but he stretches out today, obviously, to a mile and a 16th, but He's by Touch Gold, and certainly bred to like the added ground. And, you know, this is mile and 16th is, you got the short stretch at, there for that race. So I think this kind of goes, you know, this ought to be right up his alley. You know, that was, if he runs back to that last race, I think he's got a shot here despite the move up in class today. So we're going to go with Casper's Touch, who's got maybe the local, advantage, with a win over the racetrack. He obviously likes it. And, coming in here, stretching that off that sprint, I think he'll be, not too far out of it in the early part, make his run turn for home. If he gets the lead at the head of the lane, I think he'll be, I'll be tough to beat. I'm going to take the New Orleans shipper for Neil Howard, Prime Cut, second. We'll see how he does when he handles the dirt, or handles the if he handles the poly track from running on dirt. And then the favorite, Silver Medallion, who has a synthetic win, but didn't fare particularly well in his only Keeneland start. So we're going to go 6-3-2. In the Coolmore, Lexington.
All righty. Well, you got your Derby horse picked out yet?
Derby.
That answered my question.
Derby's about as clear as mud, Ursel.
Yeah.
It's, you know, I heard last night, I was listening to the sports show out of Louisville last night, and just for a few minutes, and they were talking about the fact that last year's Eclipse Award-winning jockey, Ramon Dominguez, doesn't have a mount for the Derby, and neither does Calvin Burrell, who's won 3 out of the last 4 Derbies. So it's hard to figure.
Yeah, I don't understand that. I think I'd go looking for Calvin.
Yeah, you would think that somebody would be giving Jerry Hissom a call.
Yeah.
I saw that he's going to work he's going to work Stay Thirsty for Pletcher, I guess, next week. But there's still no guarantee he's going to ride.
Yeah.
So and that's after he won for Pletcher last year and got Pletcher off the schneid. It's like, what's it take to get him out here?
Yeah. Right. Right. All right, Steve. We thank you. It's been Steve Moody with the Kentucky Handicapper Sheet, and that's published by Briss. And you can buy one of those wherever you see a daily racing form. Steve, thank you. Talk to you later.
All right, Orson.
All right, my friend. All righty. Well, yesterday at Keeneland, the sixth race, a $50,000 maiden special for two-year-old fillies went to Gypsy Robin, the very first starter from the very first crop by De Hare. And Gypsy Robin put on quite a show, winning by widening 7.5 lengths and setting a new track record, 4.5 furlongs and 50-1. She's freaky fast, just like her sire. Gypsy Robin was bred in Kentucky by Clark C. Clark, Jr., trained by Wesley Ward. Let us remind you that De Hare won the Grade 1 Cigar Mile and won 33-3, posting a 1.14 buyer. That he won the Grade 2 Jerome, getting the first 6 furlongs and 8-1, the mile and 1.34-1 for a 1.10 buyer. And that he is one of 10 Grade 1 Stakes winners by Breeders' Cup Classic winner Awesome Again. The sire more Breeders' Cup race winners than any active stud. Not only that, De Hare's full sister won Grade 1 Stakes and sold for $4,500,000 at auction. And his stakes winning dam sold for $2,700,000. So it's a great family. So De Hare's first starter wins first time out and sets a new track record at Keeneland. Her future looks great, and so does De Hare's. He stands for 7,500 live foal at Shadwell Farm. Inquiries to Stein manager Kent Barnes, and see the website at shadwellfarm.com. Well, Jim Fitzgerald, neighbor of mine, owns Not Griffin Farm, and he owns Harper's Island Farm, and they're both right down into our direction, one in Bourbon County, one over just over the Bourbon County line. And Jim is, all he's ever done in his life is work with horses. He started out, of course, riding when he was 2 years old. Don't all Irishmen start riding when they're 2 years old? I think they do. But more important than that is the people he came up under. He went to the Irish National Stud with Dr. Michael Osborne. He went to work at Spendthrift Farm under John Williams. He managed Lee Eaton's farm. And then, he, of course, he went out on his own. He's had Knock Griffin Farm since 1994. And he just recently purchased Harper's Island Farm. Knock Griffin is right on 460, just a couple of miles from the Paris Bypass. And he's got great facilities there for boarding and sales prep, private sales, public sales. He can, you know, rehab, you name it, and he can do it. Quality farm help. He wouldn't have anything but the best. And this is important, give you some good, sound, common sense advice, and he's someone you can trust. That's my good friend Jim Fitzgerald at Knock Griffin Farm. Let me give you his number, 987-8032. That's 987-8032. And his website is Knock Griffin Farm, KnockGriffin Farm.com. Well, Homie Back is a Grade 2 stakes winner of over $872,000. He won the Grade 2 $500,000 Lane's End Stakes. He won the Grade 3 Dominion Day Handicap. Ran second in the historic Grade 1 Travers at Saratoga. Second in the Grade 1 Bluegrass Stakes. In other words, he was a superior runner. And he was precocious, winning his first two starts as a two-year-old. One at Arlington, one at Keeneland. Now look at his pedigree. He's by Giant's Causeway, out of a graded producer by Unbridled Song. His second dam was both a champion at three and a champion sprinter and a prolific stakes producer. The family sent out literally dozens of top stakes winners, including the likes of the great Tom Fool. So Homie Back has a lot going for him, including the fact that he stands at a farm noted for standing successful sires. Bluegrass Cat, Distorted Humor, Sharp Humor, Spitestown, Tis Now. Spitestown is the sire Essence Hitman. And he won the last Sunday the $150,000 Jacques Cartier Stakes at Woodbine, getting 6 furlongs and 109. Excuse me, let me knock a second off that. 6 furlongs and 108. That was his fourth stakes win. Now pay attention to this. Breeder Mare to Hold Me Back this spring. Pay the $6,000 stud fee when the foal stands and nurses, and that's it. No more payments. You'll have a free lifetime breeding right. So call Robert Hammond at Windstar Farm. It's 873-1717 and see the website at windstarfarm.com. All righty, they're running the Jerome Handicap today at Belmont Park. And I want to talk about it. Just a couple of winners from the Jerome way back when. Actually, they have to go way back. The original running was in 1866. And a horse named Watson. And I haven't been able to find out much about Watson. But I've dug in the records and I don't know what.
You know, that was the end of the war. A lot of people shipped their horses up there.
Yeah.
At that time.
Probably why
they set up. Yeah. A lot of stakes races.
Anyway. Well, a couple of years later, a horse named Bennett won it, and he was a stablemate, and here's a trivia question for you. He was a stablemate of a horse named General Duke.
Really?
Now, this is not the General Duke who was a stablemate with Iron Liege and who won set a new world record going a mile and an eighth in the Florida Derby race that I happened to see. And, of course, he was the Derby favorite and passed away, and that was in 1957. This General Duke won the Belmont Stakes, and he won that in 1868. So,
amazing.
Somebody ask you about General Duke, you say, which one? Well, Bennett met his former stablemate named Vauxhall in the Saratoga Gold Cup, and it was an interesting race. He won, and Vauxhall was the favorite, and it was so obvious, at least it was obvious to the stewards, that Vauxhall's jockey, and his name was John Ford, had pulled the horse, that they canceled all wagering and ruled Mr. Ford off. So
I hate it when that happens.
In 1960, the next year, a horse named Glenn Elge won it, and he was by Citadel. Yeah, he was imported in utero. And Citadel was better known as over in England as in shore horse circles than he was in the race course. But Gennells was prone to colic. It caused him to miss a few engagements, but he was a big raw-bone colt, described as an ornery cuss. And didn't race as a two-year-old. He raced for August Belmont. And he should have won the Belmont Stakes, but Mr. Belmont wanted to win with his stablemate, Finian. And Gennells' rider had almost pulled his head off to let Finian win. But he did win the Travers and the Maturity Stakes, and, of course, the Jerome, which is why I'm talking about him. The Jerome was over 3 miles. He won the Bowie Handicap going in 4 mile heats.
Now, why, if Belmont had the one horse pulled, wasn't he ruled off?
Well, I guess you could do that. You declared which half of the entry that you wanted to win with.
Oh yeah, and if either one, and if it's an entry, you could get paid.
Yeah, that's what it was. So it was a stablemate. Anyway, all right. Okay, now I've got my wife squared away. Anyway, Glendale ended his 4-year-old season as the best racehorse in training, and Belmont at that time already had a pretty good stud named Kentucky at stud, and so he sold Glenn Elge to Mr. M.H. Sanford for $10,000, which was a hell of a lot of money at that time. And he was an immediate success at stud. Led the sire list 4 times, so maybe he sold the wrong horse. I don't know. Sired some really good race horses. 1971 winner was Harry Bassett, who was by Lexington in 1871. He was purchased as a yearling from Woodburn Farm for $375 by Colonel McDaniels. And he ran third in his first start, and then he won the Kentucky Nursery Stakes and the Supper Stakes as a 2-year-old. As a 3-year-old, he won the Belmont, he won the Jersey Derby, he won the Travers, he won the Kenner, he won the Jerome, he won the Reunion, he won the Bowie Stakes, and was unbeaten as a 3-year-old.
That was all in 1 year?
Yeah, that was his 3-year-old year, yeah. He was so great was his prestige at that time that Mr. M.H. Sanford, who was tired of looking at his big red behind, sent somebody to England to buy a horse over there to beat him. The two best colts over there, the Derby winner, were Favonius and Sterling, and they were not for sale. So Mr. McDaniel, who owned Harry Bassett, said he'd match Harry Bassett against either one of them, $50,000 aside, but there were no takers. Nothing ever came of it. So about that time, the other good horse in training was Longfellow, and the people were looking for Longfellow as the only possible contender against him. They met in the Monmouth Cup, and Harry Bassett sulked that day and got beat. But two weeks later, he came back and beat Longfellow in the Saratoga Cup. Mr. McDaniels wasn't content with beating Longfellow, and he raced Harry Bassett in all sorts of races. In the fall that year, it was getting pretty evident that he was stale, which caused one observer to sense that he's not what he used to be. And first time he meets a good horse, he'll get beaten. That proved to be the case. And a few days later, he was beaten by Monacrist in the Maturity Stakes. Harry Bassett never really recovered the form of his earlier form. Went to stud, and he got one good horse named George McCullough, but that was it as far as stud horse goes. Well, of course, he was real young when he died. He was just 10 years old when he died. But
he stand here.
Harry Bassett, no, he stood up east. Yeah, almost everything did at that time.
Oh, at that time, yeah. Of course, I forgot.
Yeah. I'll mention one more, 1875, when it was Aristides. I guess everybody's heard of him. He was by Leamington, in case you didn't know that, Jackie. Bred by Price McGrath.
Course, I knew that. I knew that when I was 8 years old. Go ahead.
Okay. That long ago. He won the Kentucky Derby, the Jerome, the Withers that year. Should have won the Belmont. Mr. McGrath had bet $30,000 in the winner book to win on Aristides' stablemate, Calvin, and instructed Aristides' rider to hold Aristides, which he did, and Calvin won, so he collected his little wager. He also, Aristides beat Tenbrook right here in Lexington, going 2 1/8 miles. So he could get the Derby distance.
He could, and that twice.
Yeah, right. Pretty nice.
Go around one more time.
Pretty near, pretty near. Well, let's see if I'm doing the right one. Yeah, Harlan's Holiday was represented by 8 Grade 1 Stakes horses. That's not right. He was represented by his 8th Grade 1 Stakes winner. Stakes, I'm trying it again. He represented by his 8th Grade 1 Stakes horse. Okay, last Saturday, when Twin Spires just got beat a nose out here in Keeneland's Grade 1 Bluegrass Stakes, most recent Grade 1 Stakes winner by Harlan's Holiday is Majestic Perfection. Colt considered by many to be the fastest sprinter in the country last year, including I thought so too. Not that that means anything. His first Grade 1 Stakes winner is In the Mischief. Winner is a 2-year-old of the Grade 1 Cash Call Futurity, in which she ran a mile and a 16th and 1:40.4, and that's pretty doggone good time for a 2-year-old. He won the Cash Call at the direct expense of the future Grade 1 Stakes winner millionaire Colonel John, and he had earlier sprinted 6.5 furlongs and 1:14.1 to break his maiden. In 3 starts at 3, he ran 2nd in the Grade 2 San Vicente. He was a game 2nd in the Grade 1 Malibu, and then after a layoff of several months, came back and won the $113,000 Damascus Stakes, going 7 furlongs in 1:20.1. So Inner Mischief had brilliant speed. Sired by the nation's number one ranked sire in 2011 Stakes winners, out of a stakes winning mare from a running family, Inner Mischief stands for $8,500. Doing a full stands of nurses, and there is a breed risk-free program available. So just call Ken Wilkins, or Des Dempsey, or Sean Feld, or Ned Toffee at Spendthrift Farm, 294-0030. See the website at SpendthriftFarm.com.
Run, oh, Molly, run.
What do you want?
Run, oh, Molly, run. Timber's gonna beat you to the bright shine of the sun. To the bright shine of the sun.
I just wanted to mention that
Rurex starts this week. Rurex starts this week.
Thursday, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday at the Horse Park. And, of course, Equine Humane Center Horse of the Day is a real nice mare. And I can't remember her name, but she's real cute. And, oh, I know what. If you don't want to pay to get him Rolex, you can volunteer for the Secretariat Center during Rolex. Yeah.
You know, I was talking about some Jerome's, the Jerome winner. I think I got enough time to do this. I'll try it. One of the winners in 1923 was a horse named Cherry Pie, who was a member of the Gas House Gang.
Oh.
And for those of you who don't know who the Gas House Gang was, and I was talking to a good friend of mine this week who didn't know who Joe Palmer was.
Oh, yeah, I know.
So I'm just going to give you a sample. I've got enough time to do this, I guess.
Five minutes.
Okay, I'll read fast. This was written by Joe Palmer about the Gas House Gang. The records say that Jolly Roger earned $143,240, which is woefully incomplete. He was a great steeplechaser in an era of great steeplechasers, and he won the Grand National at Belmont under 165 pounds in 1927, and won it again the next year under 167. He ran for Mrs. Payne Whitney, which was a good thing for a horse, and after he left the races in 1930, he went back to the paddocks of Green Tree Farm to grow old gracefully, with a world record for earnings by chaser. Mrs. Whitney did not know it, but Jolly Roger's earnings days weren't over. A good many tourists from Iowa and Maine and Kansas get to Green Tree every year. And, of course, they want to see famous horses. There were some children on the farm, owned by some of the resident employees, and they found this situation interesting. Want to see St. Germans, they'd ask, a questionnaire? If they found the visitors knew little enough, they'd offer Man of War, for that matter, Eclipse. Whatever the choice, one of the youngsters would run out and catch old Jolly Roger, who was a very flashy horse with a blazing face and 4 white stockings, and could be led by a child with a silk string. The act was always good for a quarter or half a dollar, and Jolly Roger was probably shown as much as any horse in Kentucky, though never under his own name. Presently to share his paddocks came Cherry Pie, which was one of Mrs. Whitney's best-loved horses, and then 20 grand with his record for the Derby. And there was Easter Hero, finally, to make a fourth. the farm staff, lamentably, addicted to baseball broadcasts in the season, call him the Gas House Gang. You won't recall Easter Hero because he raced over the fences in England. He was good enough, but his fame rests largely on the way he played Mary Hell with the field of the Antrim Grand National in 1928. This was the notorious renewal in which 42 horses started and only the 100-to-1 shot Tipperary Tim finished undamaged, though the American entry, Billy Barton, was remounted after pecking the last jump and finished second. No others finished at all, largely because of Easter Hero. He hit the canal-turn fence, but instead of going over, landed a straddle of it. Billy Barton, too close to turn out, cleared fence, ditch, and Easter Hero in one prodigious leap, but several others fell and more refused. Easter Hero finally fell back off the fence into the ditch on the near side, where he ran up and down for a while and nothing followed behind would attempt to jump at all. This cut the field to a half a dozen or so, and Aintree's murderous fences took care of most of the few which had got over. 20 Grand had won the Derby in 1931 in track record time, sweeping down the stretch with a great rush. He was later tried in the stud, but proved incurably sterile. There was an attempt to train him again. He ran in the first Santa Anita Handicap in 1935, but this didn't work very well either, so he was brought back to the farm and turned out with the other pensioners. It would be nice to think that these four old warriors remembered their days of glory and argued during the hot summer afternoons about whether steeplechasing was honest, though the chances are they didn't. But at least they had the big paddocks and the tall grass and their own company and long years of idleness. As the years passed, their reputations were largely forgotten. There had always been plenty of horses better than Cherry Pie. Whirlaway broke 20 Grand's Derby record with an even more spectacular rush. Many another horse came down at Aintree to the detriment of the field behind him. But year after year, Jolly Roger held to his record. No other steeplechaser had ever earned as much as he. But faster even than racehorses runs the white horse. Cherry Pie was the first to go. He died in 1947 at the age of 27. In February 1948, Easter Hero rose to his last fence. And then, a month later, 20 Grand came to end of his days at the age of 20. This left Jolly Roger at aging 26 as the lonely survivor. In all the years since he had left the fences, his record had remained virtually the only money record except Top Flight's, which had withstood the big purses of the 1940s. Then on July 2, Elk Ridge, 10-year-old veteran of 1,000 fences, shook off the field of the Indian River steeplechase at Delaware Park and with purses of $8,800 set a new steeplechasing mark for earnings. On July 3, the Gas House Gang was disbanded. Jolly Roger died at Green Tree. That was Joe Palmer.
Makes me cry every time.
Well, we'll be on next week. Here we are, both of us sitting here crying.
The show will be up on UrsaWallace.com as soon as I can figure out how to get home and do it.
Yeah, my reading will make you cry. But anyway, thanks for listening, and we'll talk to everybody next week. And, oh, wait a minute. Mary Jane, thank you down there. And Rissy, thank you right here in the clocker stand.